But first this morning to Taiwan, where the government this week announced its intention to increase the 2027 defence budget by 18%, bringing it to over 3% of Taiwan's burgeoning GDP. But the opposition KMT-controlled parliament has only just passed the 2026 budget, and that was after a record 266-day delay and with significant cuts to what Lai Ching-te's government wanted. Joining us on the line this morning is Dr. Roger Huang, a senior lecturer at Macquarie University's School of International Studies. And Roger previously worked in Taiwan with the Democratic Progressive Party. Dr. Huang, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Good morning, Julian.
Now, Roger, could you explain the lie of the political land in Taiwan for us that means that in the same week there can be the announcement of a big increase in defence spending and also the passage of a budget with lower defence spending than previously announced?
Right. So Taiwan is at a divided government kind of situation where you have the executive branch controlled by the Democratic Progressive Party under President Lai Ching-te. Probably also known as William in English, if it's easier for our listeners here in Australia. So what happened is that at the Legislative Yuan, which is the Taiwanese parliament, the opposition KMT, which are also known as the Chinese Nationalist Party, and the Taiwan People's Party, a smaller kind of minor partner to the opposition, have been blocking installing this year, so the 2026 budget. Like you said, it's a historical record of a 266 days delay. And the result was, and this was a block, to be clear, not just on the defense budget, but the whole funding for the entire government's functions, right? So this is a historical delay. But much of the dispute, which stalled to the whole the budget, was focused on defense. There were a lot of debates about how the opposition considered the defense budget has been bloated. And a lot of it is also linked to a special budget, right? And in fact, in the special budget that the government wanted to pass, the legislative yuan in the end, I think, cut something like 40% of what the government has requested. And a lot of it was focused on discussion of drones, the unmanned aerial vehicles. And this is where we're at, right? So we have a government that has been trying to pass through a number of modernization reforms for the military. The opposition has been blocking and stalling the passage of the budget. And finally, after they passed this year's budget, the government now has proposed a new, even bigger kind of funding for defense for the 2027 year, as you've kind of pointed out. And that 2027 new defense budget will be the largest absolute number in absolute number terms. I think something like a little bit over $1 trillion, which is roughly 48 billion Australian dollars. So that's where we're at the moment with this kind of this weird dichotomy of where the government is trying to modernize this military, the opposition in, you know, publicly saying they support the defense and military, but at the same time have been stalling and delaying and making cuts to what the government actually wants to introduce.
Well, Roger, I think it's too early on a Sunday morning to try and work out if an 18% increase in the next year will end up being more than the cut from the previous year. But let's try and explore what the dynamics of this debate over the increase in the defence budget are. What is the KMT hoping to gain from reducing the defence budget of that the government has put through? What's the rationale for it?
Sure. So from the public facing side, right, obviously the opposition is trying to demonstrate that it has political relevance. Even though the DPP, the Democratic Progressive Party, is controlling the executive branch of the government, that they, having control of the legislature of the parliament, can also have political relevance, right? They can delay, they can kind of try to impact and influence how the government actually functions. That's pretty clear. But what they're selling is that saying we're trying to be accountable to the people, we're trying to be transparent, we want to make sure the government is not, you know, just spending money for spending money's sake for a kind of a a you know PR exercise, right? That there are some legitimate claims, I think, to say that this, you know, this massive defense budget could lead to rent seeking, potential corruption, overlapping of budget items, that's wasteful spending. So that's what the opposition is mainly kind of demonstrating, right? They're trying to be basically responsible. They want the government to be accountable and that there won't be wastage. Now, a little bit more cynical, we can look at what's actually happening as well, right? What's actually happening is that Taiwan's economy has performed amazingly the last couple of years. This year, they're looking at, I think, a growth rate of a little bit over 11% of the GDP, right? Mm. This would be the fastest economic growth in Taiwan's history in the last four decades or so. Right. For comparison, we're looking at what, about 2% here back home in Australia.
Yeah, that's
so
amazing.
So we're looking at you can look at amazingly how the industry, the economy is doing in Taiwan, largely driven by the AI kind of AI sector and semiconductors. So again, one from the public facing side came to show its political relevance. It's trying to sell to Taiwanese citizens that it's being fiscally responsible. But more cynically, they're also trying to make the government look bad because there is an election coming up later this year in Taiwan in November. These are local elections, but often they're portrayed kind of like the midterm elections comparable to the US, right? So, this will they don't want the government to appear to be better kind of for society as a whole. So again, a bit of a political kind of war game here.
It's interesting that the Taiwanese growth at 11% really does put in perspective the debate about whether the defense budget should be a certain percentage of GDP, because when the GDP is growing that massively, obviously it would create a massive increase in defense spending as well if it simply tracked GDP. Let's look at the 2027 budget announcement, Roger. What, to your mind, are the most salient aspects of the defense spending increase that's been announced and where that money is intended?
Right. So like you said earlier, this 2027 proposed budget, which is, only just been announced a few days ago, this would be, in terms of the absolute numbers, a little bit over $1 trillion, the largest kind of spending ever, if passed, as it is. Of course, given the track record, it's unlikely to be passed in this current form. And a lot of this actually, some of the major items, is precisely because there was a special budget that the government wanted to pass this year, much of it in the drone space. Right. So Taiwan is trying to develop, or President Lai Ching-te has announced that they want to develop this Taiwan Shield or T-Dome, which is a multi-layer kind of national air defense shield, right? Similar to what they have in the Iron Dome in Israel. All right. So this is a multi-layer AI-enabled national air defense architecture that will protect Taiwan from Chinese potential attack, right? Aircrafts, drones, all of that. Right, the full 9 yards. So when the parliament denied that special budget, this is really trying to make up for that, right? So it's already been, the military has already presented this earlier this year. It's been denied. So they're trying to put it back on the table, the supplementary spending on drones. But also all these, the box tender, which is, of course, paying for the arms purchase from the U.S., that has already been agreed. But one crucial factor that is also slightly different from the past is that there's a recognition of the importance of the Coast Guards. So there is also a significant budget that is going to be directed to the Coast Guards, Coast Guard modernization, so basically kind of in support of the Taiwan kind of Navy. Right, and lots of it is because of obviously the geopolitics, where China has also been using its Coast Guards to effectively carry out military coercive acts.
Yes, could you describe for us, Roger, the current conduct that the Chinese government is taking towards Taiwan kinetically and across the full range of defense techniques, and give us a sense of how similar or different China's current conduct is to previous years?
So in the last few years, China has been particularly aggressive in demonstrating its military capacity, right? So, at least since about 2019 or so, it has effectively diminished or completely dismantled kind of these informal boundary agreements that Taiwan used to have with China. So there's the de facto kind of Davis Medium Line, where basically the POA, the People's Liberation Army, did not used to pass as kind of informal formal agreement, right? So now, increasingly, you've seen Chinese jets, Chinese Navy passing this medium line. There is almost daily incursions of Taiwan's air defense identification zone. There is Chinese Coast Guards that's gone into what Taiwan side used to refer as a prohibited waters. Again, this kind of de facto agreement, right, of informal waters, which should be under Taiwanese jurisdiction, but now that's being completely disregarded, ignored by the Chinese side. And China has, in the last few years, effectively declared that it's all, Taiwan Strait is basically China's inner water, right? That there is no legal or informal agreement Chinese cannot just enter at will. Right? So a lot of this is also propaganda. So there is some actual kinetic kind of display of their military and coast guards within Taiwan's waters and territory, or not actually inside Taiwan's territory, but increasingly close. But at the same time, this is intent. It's a very clear psychological warfare, right? It's trying to intimidate and coerce and spread fear in Taiwan and try to kind of warn international partners not to interfere in a potential conflict in Taiwan.
And Taiwan obviously holds military exercises, the Hung Kuang military exercises, every year. That's taken place for the last 42 years. But I gather that the exercises looked a little bit different this year. Could you tell us how they were different, and in particular, what happened when they shut off the whole internet?
Yeah, so the Hung Kuang military exercise this year is interesting, right? So to be clear, it wasn't an internet shutdown. They slowed down. It's a very localized slowdown of mobile data speeds. So people were still able to access the internet, but at an extremely, you probably remember.
Sounds excruciating.
If you remember the old dial-up back in the 90s, right, early 2000s, so it's kind of really going back in time. It was impossible for people during that particular, it was only half an hour, to be honest, but it was impossible for many people in North and Central Taiwan to access kind of video conference calls, TikToks and Zoom and YouTube and all that stuff we're so used to now. So this is new, right? So they're slowing down the internet, and it only covers about 70% of the population, so they're only slow down the internet in North and Central Taiwan. So it was an entire country of Taiwan, whether the offshore islands or in the southern part of Taiwan. And it was meant to test civilian response, right? That when the communication is slow, when it's slowed down, will hospitals still be able to function? Will local institutions still be able to kind of carry out their daily activities? Will transport still work? So this is interesting, right? So they did this for the first time to really kind of give the public intimate kind of sense of what, it's not just missiles and guns and all this really terrible kinetic kind of warfare stuff, but it will also obviously have daily impact, right? So demonstrating, saying, look, if a war or conflict happens, life needs to go on, but we obviously need to adjust to it. We need to have a communication channel. We need to have resilience in society to be able to carry out day-to-day activities, right? So that's one of the big factors to slowing down the internet, like you were suggesting, that this is very different from the past exercise where you've gotten the civilians even more involved. And a couple more things that was slightly different this year that I thought was interesting is that there's also engagement of civilian factories. So this is also something new. So during this 10-day exercise, there were a few selected civilian factories that had to switch their production lines to actually produce components for weapons, right? So parts for drones, et cetera. Did they actually carry this out during the Hung Kuang military exercises this year? So again, really trying to kind of integrate civilians and the mass population to kind of understand these major issues beyond just kind of the old kind of military life exercise of ships and guns and whatnot.
Well, fascinating. And as always, things are hot and hotting up in Taiwan. Dr. Roger Huang, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And Roger is Senior Lecturer at Macquarie University's School of International Studies. And yes, as we heard, the last Taiwanese budget took 266 days to pass. So this 18% increase still has to face Parliament. And we'll find out how much of that massive increase actually gets its way through sometime in the next few hundred days. On Sunday Extra, it's 25 minutes past 7.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.